What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Your Washington Commanders are 5-2 and are just kicking teams' asses. Third win this season of three touchdowns or more. 5-2. Good morning, Brian Mitchell. The Commanders might be a wagon.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Now, yesterday was a really fascinating day to be at the game. Shout out to all the people that were there. I think people really enjoyed it. I almost think there was a little bit of ignorance is bliss being there because you weren't inundated with like the constant, really non-updates of Jaden's condition. But yesterday, the vibe in that stadium between the Darryl Green ceremony, which pregame out in Legends Plaza was jumping. People were going nuts. Darryl gave a 15-minute speech. Yeah,
Darryl went out there dancing. I had never seen Darryl dance. I say, oh, hold on now. Is that D Green or somebody else?
It was very, very cool. And then, you know, the game starts. Jaden busts the long run. And everybody's excited. And then he gets hit. And you can tell it's a little awkward coming down. He tries to stiff arm that dude. Then gets hit from the other side. We can have a discussion about the run and all these things, but
he was trying to go down, and that was a freak accident when someone is right on your back like that, and it's happened many a time where you go to go down and then they kind of land on top of you and fold you a little bit. So it's not. I know everybody gonna start talking, oh, he shouldn't run. Shut the hell up. Yes, he should.
I mean, at this point, we're six games into this, right? Running is a part of who he is.
Hell yeah.
And, like, you're not taking that away. If you want to have this debate, if he should have gone out of bounds or don't cut it inside, cut it outside, we've seen enough now that it's entirely possible he takes that thing 75 and it's a house call.
Yeah.
Eventually, I think he's also a young man. Does anybody remember when they were a young man? You didn't think. You rarely, and I'm not talking about football players. I'm talking about just being a 23-year-old man. You rarely thought of the possible negative consequences.
Well, I don't.
You just think I'm going.
I think in football you can't think about the negative consequences. But you know what? Ultimately, you could do every damn thing you're supposed to and still get hurt in football.
Totally.
So
the biggest hits he's taken have been in the pocket.
When he was thinking about going down, you know why he was thinking about going down? Because he's heard everybody say he should go down. If he had done what he probably would have ordinarily done, he probably wouldn't get hurt right there.
And then, so the long run, I think, is where he at least aggravates it. And then on the short run, where he very awkwardly goes down near the goal line, well, I think it was a 7-yard gain to the left side. That's when you knew something was up. When he got up after the long run, it's like, all right, something doesn't look right. After that 7-yard run, you're like, okay, something's amiss.
But you knew something was wrong, and I think the reason he went down, like many people thinking he got hurt on that play right there.
I think he got hurt on the long
run. You can't be that dumbfounded and not know about sports. But he went down there because he felt something, and he knew. And he's like, okay, let me get this checked out. And now, you know, we'll find out what happens later on in the day or whenever they come out with the new reports. But like you said, after the game, he was jovial. I don't know why, but he was happy. It didn't seem like he was moving any strange way to me.
The only thing I noticed was when he was coming off the field, he was doing like the motion to kind of hype the crowd up. You know what I mean? Like raising your arms. And I think in that moment, he kind of forgot how his left side felt. Mm-hmm. And his right arm went up, no problem. And his left arm kind of like hit a pause button. And then he kind of realized to tighten that shoulder in.
I'll throw something out there, and I don't guess people think of this. Like, we automatically assume it's a rib. I'm thinking hip pointer. Hip pointer affects your whole left side. Okay,
that high up?
Ooh, bro. The hip pointer affects every damn thing from your foot all the way up. And you go to move anything on left, sneezing, laughing, anything, it hurts. So when you get hit awkwardly, sometimes that happens. And they call it a hip pointer, but guess what? It's not in your actual hip. It's up around that little, what you call those, the abdominal obliques, the little, the fat part.
I got the
inner tube size that most people have.
Yeah.
That is where it hurts like hell. And I played with it. You know, went into the game with the hip pointer, got hit awkwardly, and guess what? The hip pointer left. I guess the nerve that was pinching, they knocked it out. We'll see. I don't want to see. We're not doctors, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think enough people are going to speculate, but I'm going to be honest. DQ, I thought, handled it really well in postgame, saying, you know, the truth of the matter, I don't have an update. I'm not going to have an update till tomorrow. Dan Quinn set to talk today at 3:30. You're going to see, just based on the way the world is, a million non-update updates throughout the day, right? There's going to be insiders, real and fake, people with sources, real and fake, all saying that you know, oh, what we know, what we concrete know, he was hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt. He tried to come back in the game, tried to warm back up. Whether it was his call, Dan Quinn said it was the medical staff, said, nope, you're out. Comes over to the sideline, slams his helmet, goes in. The reports are he got x-rays. Nothing was broken. X-rays tell you 40% of the story. The MRI tells you all the other stuff. X-rays tell you if something's broken or not. There's a lot of other stuff that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Sprain. Yeah, you got ligaments, you got muscles. You could just have a deep bone bruise. Like, yeah. A lot can happen there. And until the imaging comes back, and, dude, you got to let the swelling go down. They always say with these guys, one day after the injury, you got to see how it feels. And then when they test it again. So this is not going to be resolved today. I think there's a very low chance that DQ at 3:30 says, hey, Jaden's good to go. Can't wait for practice to start on Wednesday. I think this is going to be an updated throughout the week type of thing, because say Jaden practices Thursday, which I think is kind of reasonable. I imagine Wednesday would be a rest day just after getting popped, right? They still need to see how he responds from practicing before there's any sort of declaration. And I think for me, watching him in the locker room last night, listening to the guys that clearly had talked to him in the second half, he feels like he's going to be fine. His mom tweeted out, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Being fine and missing a game or two are different results.
They are.
And I think folks got to keep their eye on the big picture.
And I think the ultimate thing here is he probably has the mindset he can go.
Right.
And probably can, but they're gonna be cautious if it's anything, you know how that'll go with them.
100%.
They're gonna definitely be cautious, and that's understandable. But the ultimate thing is, listen, man, he has to play ball, and you saw that team when it happened. Everybody else did their jobs and took up for it, you know. And that, yes, it was the Panthers, but still, any team at any time could beat your ass in a football game. So. The
team effort yesterday was super
impressive.
They're
taking steps forward.
Mariota was super impressive.
Oh, yes. And Reeves came off the field, and the special teams were knocking heads yesterday. You know? He said, that's for you, B-Mitch.
So, specials were
I'm
great.
I'm loving it, dog. Listen, I'm having a good time watching it, covering this thing now. I know people always, when they were losing, they thought it was like easy and cool for us to cover it. No. That's hard as hell to cover something bad all the time. But when it's this damn good, easy to cover.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked last night, and you're like, there is a combination going, yesterday especially, of with honoring Daryl Green and how cool that was and how many former players were back in the building and just in good spirits. And there was no, let's be real, there have been times where they've gotten a bunch of players back in that building and they are, some guys, I don't want to speak for everybody, but some guys to varying degrees are unhappy with how they're treated, even when they're brought back for Alumni Day, right?
Yep.
There was none of that yesterday. The vibe from the former players was incredible. And, dude, it was former players that I hadn't seen back. Alfred Morris, saw Anthony Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Doc's buddy, Clarence Vaughn, made a point of introducing himself to me, which was really cool, and he didn't need to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
man, Clarence introduced himself to everybody, man.
I'm just trying to say, I'm trying to be appreciative. I just think there's so much positive off the field, and then it's actually being matched by positive on the field. And I think that combination, that cocktail of bringing back the past and moving forward as a winning organization is just is like the most powerful elixir they can serve, dude. And you can feel that when you're at the games.
What it is, man, and I'm going to say this. I don't care what your organization is. If everybody is treated the same and not some people treated better than others or like they're more than others, you're going to have that type of outcome. When everybody's working for the same cause like that team is doing right now, that's going to happen. And every business needs to pick that up. Every business needs to pick that up.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like everybody's kind of pulling the same weight and pulling the same rope, whatever you want to call it. And it's an amazing kind of feeling out there. And I don't know that it will continue, right?
I think it will.
This Jaden situation could impact a lot because you don't get to play the Panthers every week.
It could, but I just think that the overall dynamic has changed. Where I told you, I was told by someone a few weeks ago that this is what you get when everybody's working for the same common goal, same common cause. You know that when Dan was here, he had his crew, and we had people in the sales department and people and coaches there that all were working for their own goal, trying to promote themselves, per se. Today, everybody cares about everybody. You know, they work for each other. And if you get that, you're going to be okay.
Well, and when you're able to run the ball like that.
And the people up top also.
Yeah.
They treat everybody equally as they're important. Not just some people and not others.
Yeah, just yesterday, I'm not seeking anybody out because I think it's important to allow these folks in the new ownership group to have their space, man. Like, not everything is a media opportunity. And at some point, like, we don't need to take pictures of Josh Harris every time he walks around. Like, he's the owner. He's chilling. He'll high-five people.
Well, they're going to do it for about a year and a half, 2 years, because, you know what? It never happened before.
I know, but we're...
And if the other guy walked around, he had 45 people standing around.
That's what I'm saying, but we're, like, kind of a year and a half into this now. But
yeah, but...
I hear you. I'm just saying, when I have conversations with folks, a lot of times it's just, like, coincidental. I'm there, they're there, and they just talk to me.
Yeah.
And that never happened. And, dude, I saw David Tepper before the game. I was trying to find D. Hall on the sideline. I got to speak with his wife and his kids, but he's coaching, so he's doing coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there, I was talking with the security guy there, and I was like, who is Tepper? Because the owner usually pregame is down on the sideline, kind of, you know, saying hello to folks, mm-hmm. mixing it up. And, dude, I don't know him. I'm not pretending. I don't know the situation. But, B, tell me who this reminds you of. He was standing by himself, intently kind of staring out. Nobody around him. Nobody talking to him. He had, like, a security dude 5-7 yards away. And you could tell he had, like, a handler, like this dude that went everywhere he went,
mm-hmm.
that was talking to people. But then I watched him leave the field, go down the tunnel, and he had this vacant stare where he kind of like looked through people and that really nobody around him mattered. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I'm just like, damn, this dude gives me Dan vibes. Like, that's just how Dan acted on the sidelines. And it was just like between last week with the Browns, and I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago with the Browns and Watson and everything they got going, and then playing the Panthers, it is, and seeing how they handled Darryl Green and how they are investing into the stadium, it's an old beat up stadium. It's not going to be, it's not going to be Jerry World.
They did what they could,
but they're trying
to try to get it right.
Right. And just the in-game production. How about having real people come sing the national anthem and having a giant flag? Like, those are the easy, low-hanging fruit things that just did not happen. That is so rewarding, and it makes you feel like this operation has a real chance going forward.
I believe so.
And nobody knows what's going to happen with Jaden. The MRI is going to reveal it. I think you got to look at this weekend as at least a coin flip, if he plays or if he doesn't. But everyone I spoke to last night, it seems like they avoided anything major, anything long-term.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's more important. I know people are caught up in number one versus number two, Caleb versus Jaden this weekend, and maybe he plays, and maybe he throws for 7 touchdowns. Nobody's ruling it out, but mm-hmm. I think the answer has to be long term? And
I think we started this whole thing off when they hired Adam by saying that they are going to build something for the long term, for the long haul. And just like last week, we were talking about the trade deadline, and there were people that called in and said they need to hold the course, stick to what their plans were. Same thing here. You know, it's not, and the whole thing is we see something and all of a sudden we assume that it's automatically going to happen. One thing we say at the beginning of the season every time, depending on injuries, because that can happen at any damn time.
And I think, you know, some of the criticisms I saw last night were, I think they had three designed runs for Jaden in their first five or six plays. Maybe after you see him, especially after the 7-yard gain, you get away from that. There's a script in place, but I don't even know that all of them were designed.
After what 7-yard play? The one where he went down?
So there was the 47, then the 7 where he went down real awkward, and then there was another run.
Mm-hmm.
That last run may have been unnecessary in hindsight. I think when you've got an offense cooking like this and a play caller that's that dialed in, not everything needs to be, you know, dissected posthumously. Like
that's the problem. Like when they go to do the first 12, 15, whatever the hell they do, you know who's picking most of those plays with the coach?
Quarterback.
The damn quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay? And if a guy has the ability to do it and have the willingness to do it, you're going to do it. Cliff didn't know on the first one he called the dude going to go 50-something yards. And trying to protect himself, somebody falls on top of him. He didn't know that. But when he got up, he was still in the game calling it. Still going. So the whole thing is, can we allow them to do their job? Because we gonna question everything, but it gets to a point where we're not around it enough to know exactly what's going on with the play calling and the plays and the players and all that.
They also, I believe, have the highest scoring offense in the NFL. Something's working. Their run game is outrageous. I think if you want to, in the light of the injury, say, oh my God, Jaden's got to go out of bounds, or, oh, my God, Cliff's got to call less run plays. I think you're missing the point. I think things could have gone differently on those runs, but you got to let these guys do what they're doing because it's pro football and they're winning games and they're stacking up points, and that's the freaking goal. Like, maybe things over time evolve, but this is the plan, and it's working. So what the hell are you talking about?
You got a guy who can do multiple things on the field, let him do it.
When we return, let's apply the rule of Tandler to what we learned yesterday. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley just getting warmed up on a victory Monday. Well done here, Landfill. I think as much as the concern is Jaden and the ribs and whatever else that could be or not, they're still 5-2. I mean, they are in first place in the NFC East, 7 games into the season.
10 games left.
I mean, and they are beating the bejesus out of people. Like, I mean, their wins, their point differential, the way they're able to score.
Those who like the team are happy about it. Those who don't like this team and we're always happy to be able to point fingers, laugh, and joke, they're bust tight.
Yeah, dude.
Hurt. That's what's wrong.
I was texting with a couple of my buddies from college that are Giants fans, and they're like, damn, man. Skins are for real. And I was like, I think they are.
You think Saquon trying to get Butch Carter fired?
You know what he did? Did you see what he did?
Yeah, 17 for 176. I know he did that.
Well, he was, I want to say, 13 away from his all-time high. So the way he was running, probably 2 carries.
Took himself out.
Sirianni apparently went up to him and was like, yo, you're 13 away. And he's like, nah, man, let some other guys get some carries.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool, but you know what, though?
That's leadership.
I'm going to tell you. That may be leadership, but this is the other side of that. If you run the ball down to the 1-yard line and kneel down, that's more demoralizing than scoring a damn touchdown.
Sure.
So he sat there and said, I'm at the half-yard line. I don't want to score on them. That's the moralizing. It seems like it's very much.
John Mara was watching.
Hey, listen to me. It seems, but he not doing it for Mara because he loved Mara.
Yeah.
Mara wanted him there. Joe Shane, better start getting your moving company out there.
Yeah, man. That's a little tricky.
The man told you he'll be sick, and every week the dude is doing something else spectacular. So
Jaden Daniels' mom yesterday tweeted out at about halftime, maybe a little prior.
Mm-hmm.
She just said, he's fine, HTTC. And I believe the Post did a story, or maybe it was Grant. I don't know. I think there's a story somewhere where players have said that Adam Peters, when he can, will reach out to family members of guys that get hurt. And it's a classy way to handle things.
Yeah, there was a story they talked about this just maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's entirely possible Peters texted Miss Jackson. I think it's also possible Jaden just texted his mom.
Yeah.
But I think that is, he's fine. Maybe the x-ray is fine. But that doesn't necessarily mean whatever happens today. And, dude, honestly, they're probably going to have subsequent tests beyond today. So I think, for me, everybody wants to know, do you think he plays this week? I kind of think it's a coin flip. I don't know. But I know you have a young guy that had to come out of the game yesterday. When he went to throw it to come back in, the medical staffers pulled him.
Mm-hmm.
I just, they're not in a position. The absolute last thing I think this team will do or should do, and I think that's really important. I think there is an accord on what they will and should do, is react because you have the sizzle of Caleb Williams coming to town, number one versus number two. They flex this game. There's all this excitement. That should not be a driving factor in any
decision-making. I don't think anybody over there in a decision-making position thinks like that. I think if we were dealing with what we had just a few years ago, they damn well be thinking about that.
Dude, totally agree.
You know, and the whole thing is, listen, his mom's tweet was, he's good. He's doing okay, basically what it was. She didn't say he's 100% healthy. So just, that's just a parent who's like saying he's okay. You know, and if my kid gets hurt and my kid would call me and say, I'm cool, Dad, I will text he's cool. I'm not going to text anything about the medical information. I don't know that. You know, so I think people, it's people's fault. It's your problem if you want to take what somebody tweet and make it what you want it to be and read more than what they're saying.
I do think in the past, ownership would have cared about getting Jaden versus Caleb.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
And I don't think these guys will care at all. I don't think there's a quick decision coming. I just saw this from Mike Jones, and it's completely in accordance with everything I've heard. Jonesy's saying, Commanders are still waiting to learn more about Jaden Daniels' health. Might not know about his availability for the meeting with the Bears until Wednesday or Thursday. I almost think we will have a situation where Mariota's preparing as the starter.
Yeah.
And then if it changes, it changes.
If it's something muscular and things like that, if I'm in a cryotherapy chamber 2-3 times a day, because cryotherapy can get blood flow going better, which means healing is quicker. And sometimes people can't do things on a field just because of the pain threshold, okay? And if you can start getting the blood flowing properly in an area that may be a bruise or something like that, you can be right there. I had a friend of mine whose daughter had an ankle injury. Cryotherapy, 3 days, and the damn thing was black and blue. And in 3 days, it was not like that anymore. You know what I'm saying? So they have everything they need if they can get him where he needs to be. And sometimes it comes down to ultimately what drive does that person have inside of him. And that's one thing we know he has, a hell of a drive.
I think I got this tweet. I want to credit who the person is. Meta for Burgundy G. And he sent me a photo of a screen grab where it looks like Jaden is getting, I'm showing everybody. I guess the stream is up. Shout out to the stream.
Getting treated.
And he's like, oh, does it look like he's got a wrap or something on his ribs? Yes. They probably treated that thing immediately.
Yeah.
Like, as soon
the
as
sooner
he,
you get him treated, the quicker he could come back.
They probably started treating it on the field before they were even sure they had to take him in.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, he comes off the field after that opening touchdown, or the second touchdown, I guess. And then he immediately goes to the trainers. Like, he's walking off the field holding his left side. Immediately, the trainers are there with him. Then he sits down, and the trainers are like up under those shoulder pads trying to figure out what's going on. I guess it was the field goal, rather. So you immediately have him being tended to. Then it takes a little bit, but finally they put up the blue tent. He walks over to the blue tent. After the blue tent, he goes on the field and tries to throw a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it's like, all right, this ain't happening. Mariota goes in. He comes off the field, throws his helmet down, and then walks into the tunnel. We were asking repeatedly, because in the press box, NFL rules dictate that you get updates on players
that's
that are injured.
That's why I text you.
Yeah. And we didn't get it. We didn't get it. And we're finally like, hey, what do we got here? Then he walks back out onto the field in street clothes. So yeah. There's your update. If you're wearing street clothes, you ain't coming back in.
Yeah.
How much of that? So, at halftime of this game, B, I think it was it 27-0 at halftime?
Yeah.
27-0 at halftime.
I don't need, we have this game in hand. I'm not forcing anything.
Right.
I think, listen, man, people can think what they want about Dan with his hat on backwards. You can think what you want about Adam, how he does things. Seen him do wrong stuff when it comes to making decisions for the moving forward of this football team. So there could be some people that don't like him or don't feel like that was the guy, whatever. They've done every damn thing right since they've come here. And I think we got to get to the point where we forget about what the hell was and start judging them on what is and what they're doing. Because right now, I think every time something goes down, we go through the process of what would have happened before we come back to what did just happen. You know what I'm saying? And they have done nothing but stripe them. They've been Alfred Morrison home runs, you know, ever since they gotten here. So get them credit for that and stop worrying about what the hell was before. He got his cheddar and ran. Bye.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of fascinating. Not that it's a direct correlation, right? Because every injury is different. Every situation is different. You know, players are different. All of it. But Dorrance Armstrong, big, strong defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive. I'm trying to look it up. Like, he's been missing time on the injury report with a rib injury.
Mm-hmm.
He had a rib injury. He didn't practice all last week and didn't play on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think you gotta consider. I don't argue.
Rib injury can be multiple.
Can be
things.
A lot of different.
So,
things.
I mean, it's like, and then again, listen, Dorrance,
but he's also 6'4", 250.
The size of a person doesn't mean how you can handle pain. You know, we got some little bitty people out there that I see takes a lot of damn pain. A big Sammer dude
still.
Can't do it.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm not suggesting that's an apples to apples comparison, but players will miss time for ribs. Maybe Jaden won't. Maybe mm-hmm. he's good to go. The longer this goes, it's not like he has to learn the – like, there's no – if he doesn't get cleared till Sunday, if say they make it a true game-time decision and he's good, then he's good. Mm-hmm. I think you have to believe – they've been quite cautious, I'd say, with injured players.
Let me tell you this. Okay. Jaden is a Bugatti. Nobody buys a Bugatti and then just go park it in the middle of a busy street or let anybody drive it, right? They're going to take care of that Bugatti. So if he can go play, they're going to let him play. If he can't play, they won't let him play. So if you see him on a football field, every I has been dialed and T been crossed. They're going to make sure they figure out everything before he goes out there. Wouldn't be like that with some other players. But with that player right there, they're going to damn sure make sure everything's good. Because that dude is your face and your future. And they're going to take care of that. The people want to second guess, tell you with that.
In the meantime, Mariota was cooking.
He was.
And he started bad, and it looked rough, and that was kind of in conjunction with what we saw in the preseason. But once he settled in, and then he's running an offense, kind of, I mean, throwback to the Oregon situation.
Hell yeah.
He looked great.
I was a big Mariota fan when he was at Oregon.
Yeah.
You know? So when you get to the pros, you go to other teams, you might not like a person when they go to a team that you don't like.
Bro, how about the fact that Mariota and Jameis were playing yesterday? The number one and number two picks from 2015.
Hey.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, just what a weird coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's not weird or coincidental. 11 a.m., we open the phones. We're going to check in with the Aquarium Boys. Jeff Walker's wearing his Skins helmet. Nobody go anywhere. I saw this band at 930 Club, 2006 or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's the loudest I've ever heard. I mean, it was loud.
Well, you go to a concert, you expect loud.
Yeah, when they're
like a
rock concert at that venue, it was cranking.
Those speakers in that damn thing are loud as hell.
So, Brian, I'm curious if you agree with me on this. I think we're going to get Dan Quinn's going to address the media at 3:30, right?
Okay.
Do you think we get an actual update or a non-update update?
To be honest with you, I think they're going to hold things close to the vest, but I don't care. Listen, with this, with Jaden right now, I think they have to play things in a safe way. You know, if you know something, you can say a person has an injury or a little soreness or whatever without saying exactly what it is. The NFL don't expect you to go out there and give them a whole damn definition. Give as little as possible. Because if he can play, you don't want them to really know. And if he can't play, you probably don't want them to really know the complete thing.
I think if there is a true, like, update today, I think it's probably bad news. I think, by and large, it's going to be he got – what I think happened is he got blasted and –
But see,
it's hurting.
I don't see he got blasted. I saw him going down – and the guy running behind him landed on him, and he twisted awkwardly. That's what I saw. I didn't see him get hit, like, in that area.
There's an agitation in there.
Yeah.
However it occurred, right?
Yeah.
Like the hit he took, when did he have to come off the field? Was that the Giants game when he got the wind knocked out of him?
Yeah.
Like, there have been times where he's gotten hit harder.
See, that right there, that Giants hit was a direct hit to the midsection.
Right.
The one yesterday, when he was stiff-arming, then you could see it where he was like, okay, I've gone far enough. He goes to go down, and at that moment, as a former running quarterback, I would have kept running. Because at that point, you don't get that guy that's right behind you, the one that you're trying to fend off, he doesn't fall on top of you. Because at that point, you go to slide, guess what they're not going to do? They're not going to throw a flag.
Right.
Because they're too close to you, already engaged with you. But he was trying to protect himself by going down, and the guy fell on top of him. And, hell, the guy did, and I don't think the guy was trying to do anything that was bad. He just, if you go down, I'm running, I fall. He landed on top of him.
I think today what we hear is, yeah, we ran some tests. We're going to have to run some more. We're going to wait it out day to day.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's going to be really hard to have anything conclusive this quick.
That's a defensive way of doing it. you keep more things close to the vest.
And you're not saying anything wrong.
Yeah.
So I think I feel bad. I'm getting this message from a ton of people. This is from Pablo Del Olmo. Says, I really need him to play. I already dropped a rack on traveling for the game that I can't take back.
Well, that's your problem. It's football.
Yeah, like
I mean, I'm not, listen, man, I am a nice person, but I don't have to sit up here and be nice when you make that type of comment. You spend your money hoping that they'll be there. What if they get hurt? This is a game of football. This is tackle football where people do get hurt. So if he plays, cool. If he doesn't, okay. I will tell everybody, don't drop what you can't afford to drop.
I like this from Brill. It says, I got fan brain right now, but if you think about it, Jaden Daniels only played one series, so he basically already missed a full game and got a head start on recovery. Got all week to get right.
That's what we were seeing in that little picture the other guy said.
Yeah, I think if anybody thinks they weren't working on him already, you're crazy. They got They got doctors. They got equipment. They got heating pads. All these things. Like, when you hurt your ribs, I've hurt my ribs. I can only. How many times did you play through hurt ribs, B?
My ribs in all my time playing football? 1, 3.
I mean, it's a lot of it. Now, we don't know the severity, right? Like, yeah. There could be something else going on here.
I got
but if it's just bruised ribs, it's a pain tolerance thing.
Yeah, Derek Thomas hit my ribs in college, and I did play the next week, but I was able to throw the ball, but I felt the pain.
All right, here's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet. Here's what we're going to do. How much of an issue do you think if the hurt ribs are on the opposite side of your throwing hand? Because for Jaden, it's the opposite side. He's a righty, but still, and he hurt his left side.
All that. You step into your left and you twist with the left. So depending on the soreness and right where that area, it's going to hurt no matter if you're right side or left side.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought too. Press the button, Landfill. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Phone lines open. We can talk Jaden. I'm going to give a credit pie. I got to check in with the Aquarium boys. Jeff Walker, fired up. Landfill, probably more measured as he tends to be. Taking your calls next. Commanders are 5-2 and just kicking teams' asses.